And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 4, says verse number 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for being a good father to give us sound doctrine. We ask you, Lord, now that you'd help us, Lord, to the end that we not depart from it, but Father, that instead that we might glory and live in it. And we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I found it interesting, the testimonies, people talking about how they brought and how they came to the Baptist church, to the right Baptist church. And I remember, you know, my testimony being growing up a Catholic, and I was a good Catholic, make no mistake about it. I was a good one. I know Catholic doctrine. I lived by the Catholic doctrine. But then I was shown a better way. And I got saved that night in 29 Palms, California. And God began to change my entire world. Not just my life, not just the way I dressed or talked or thought. But he changed my view of the entire world that I lived in. And I'm so thankful to God this afternoon for teaching me sound doctrine that cannot be refuted. I'm so thankful for that. I count it as a great treasure to know that I have a sound and right mind. I praise the Lord for having given us His precious word, the most reasonable book on the face of the planet. You can read the thoughts of a lot of people, but when you read the Bible, when you rightly divide the word of truth, there is nothing that makes better or greater sense than what this book says. And I don't mean the NIV, because you can't understand some of the things the NIV says. Some of those others, you just can't. Some of the sentences, when you compare them to what the Bible says, you wonder what they were translating from, and you ought to, because that's why it says something different. Because that's where they got the different translation from. I guess that must be why I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, becomes who strengtheneth me. Maybe the other texts have who instead of which, but I'd like to go with the Word of God, amen. It is my service, my willing, obedient service to God that strengthens me to serve Him more. That's what strengthens me. But here in the book of Proverbs, he said, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." You know, it's one thing to be given good doctrine, and I'm going to see if I can find this real quick. It's one thing to be given good doctrine. He says here in Titus in chapter number 1, he says, "For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed." That is, I don't get to preach what I want. I don't get to say what I want. I don't get to do what I want. I have to try to do what God wants. "Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by what sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision." So especially the Jews, they were really messing stuff up. "Whose mouths," he said, "must be stopped." You and I are meant to put an end to false doctrine in our presence. Must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That is what we are called to. He said in chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he goes on to give us a few things that become sound doctrine, that go along with, that adorn, or that cause sound doctrine to be made to appear as it should. He said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you. Let me point out to you that that verse there teaches us that it's not just a matter of me saying the right things. I need to say them the right way. If I'm going to tell sound doctrine, I have to do it with uncorruptness. That is, that I'm not doing it for some ulterior motive. With gravity, that is, I'm speaking seriously about those things. And with sincerity, that is, with the truth of it being part of who I, my life and who I am. That's how we are to speak sound doctrine, because that makes sound speech. It's not just the forms of the words or the sentences. It's the person who's saying it and how their heart is, what their spirit is in conveying sound doctrine. That's all part of sound speech. Doctrine. Sound doctrine. It's good to have it. But it's not enough just to know sound doctrine. Indeed, he did not stop there in Proverbs chapter number 4. But in the end, the last few verses of Proverbs chapter number 4, which is what I want to talk about this afternoon, he tells us the other half of the story, the rest of the story, if you will. He says, I give you sound doctrine. What are you going to do with it? I remember when I was laying carpet and doing floor work and stuff, they were remodeling the old hospital out there in Putnamville, and I was working with a guy, and we went out there to help nail down some Luon flooring that was later going to be, I can't remember, they're going to put tile or carpet on it. I don't remember what they were going to put on it. But we were nailing it down. And we showed up there, and I didn't have my hammer with me. So I borrowed a hammer, an old one he had in his toolbox. And I got out there and starting to try to drive those nails in. And I'd do like that, you know, hold it to set it. And every time I did, I'd hit two nails. The one on the head, on the nail, and the one on my finger. Boom, ow. And I dry that one out. Boom, ow. And the guy who is the contractor, who was doing, he had noticed me, you know, doing that. And he said, let me see that hammer. He picked it up. He looked at it. He said, son, he said, this is the wrong hammer. He said, you see the head of that hammer? And he showed me how out of whack it was. And then I understood why every time I hit one nail, I was hitting the other. Because the way that thing was so, it had been so used that the surface of it wasn't any good for driving nails anymore. And he said, just a second. He went back and he brought me in. He said, try this one. I took a hammer, boom, and I was happy the rest of the day. Because I had a good hammer. See, now, he gave me the good hammer. I picked up the bad one. He gave me a good one. But it wasn't enough just for him to give me a good one. I had to do something with it. I had to do something with it. And when I did, I found out it didn't hurt me to use it. You know, when you have bad doctrine, it hurts you to use it. It'll cause you pain. It'll cause you trouble and worries. But God is a good Father. He's given us good doctrine. But what are we going to do with it? Let's look and see what he says that we are to do. Look in verse 23. First of all, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is the place where you are going to hold sound doctrine. And he says you need to keep it. You need to guard it with all diligence. You need to watch it all the time. I was doing a couple things at the house one day, and I was filling up a sink to clean out some filters. So I turned the sink on, but it was going to take a while for that sink to get filled up with water. So I thought, well, I'll do something else. So I ran over to do some other things, and I was doing that. I thought, the water. And I went back and looked. Fortunately, it hadn't overflowed, you know. Because if it had overflowed, it would have been a mess. I had to sort of keep it. I had to sort of watch it. I had to make sure that it was okay. So you got this heart that you're putting sound doctrine in, and you're supposed to keep it, because out of it are the issues of life. It's what you're going to be drawing from as you go through your day, is what you put in your heart. Notice what he says. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. All right? This is the Bible. This is the verse that God used to show me that I had to stop speaking in foul language, bad language. He said, man, you got to put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Why? Because Jesus said that which comes out of a man is what defiles him. I had all that junk in me, and I was letting it come out. But he taught me a better way, taught me sound doctrine. So I'm supposed to put all that away. Notice what he says, let thine eyes. So now my eyes, so I had my heart and I had my mouth, and now my eyes come in on the deal. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thy eyelids look straight before thee. So, you know, not only do I have to preserve my heart and control my mouth, but I have to direct my sight. I have to look at where I'm going. I have to pay attention. Let my eyes look right on, not be distracted. But this afternoon, what I really wanted to get to is the last two verses. We talk about sound doctrine. We've talked about what a blessing to be in a good church and to be in the right kind of church. We need to remember some things this year as the year unfolds. We need to remember some things about the path, the doctrine, the path we've been set on, the doctrine we have been taught. And the first thing we need to know about it is that it is a pondered path. He said, ponder the path of thy feet. God didn't give us sound doctrine just so we could say we knew it. He intends for us to ponder what we're going to do with our life based on the doctrine that he has taught us. It's a pondered path. No one ever accidentally serves God. No one ever accidentally wins a soul. No one ever accidentally memorizes a Bible verse. No one ever accidentally gives in the offering plate. I've never, you know, had my wallet just jump out of my pocket and suddenly everything just dumps into it. That's never happened. Anything I've ever given has always been on purpose. And I've always known exactly how much I gave. You have to ponder your path. You're not going to succeed in anything just by tripping along and hoping that everything will just accidentally fall in place. You have to think about where you want to be with God. This is 2015. If we're still here in 2016, have you thought about where you want to be in your Christian life with God a year from now? Have you thought about it? Have you ever thought, you know, if I'd have memorized one verse a day, every day of the year, and if every day I said the verses I'd memorized and took time to learn one more, by the end of the year, I would know 365 verses. If I did that. If I did one verse a week, I would know 52 verses memorized, hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. You see, it's one thing for us to have sound doctrine, to know the truth about knowing the Word of God, for instance. But it's another thing for us to ponder the path of our feet and say, I'm going to set this as a goal in my life for Christ. Next year, when I come to this same time next year, I want to have seen this in my life. This is what I want to see accomplished. It's a pondered path. It doesn't happen accidentally. You have to ponder it. You have to think about it. God took great care to ponder His path for us, in so much that Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I mean, that's a lot of pondering. Amen? That's a lot of pondering. You think of all that took place from the time that God created the earth until Jesus died on the cross, and He had it all planned out. God wants us to ponder the path of our feet. Make plans this year to serve God in ways that you did not last year, or in amounts that you did not last year. It should be a pondered path. Notice He says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. It's a proven path that we're on. You understand? He's saying, I want you to think about what steps you're taking. And every time you take a step, you should be able to know whether or not you're doing what's right before God. Because it's an established, it's a proven path. I'm not the first Christian to ever hit the face of the earth. I'm not the first pastor of any church. Others have gone before me. They have walked on an established, proven path to success with Christ. And we ought to walk on it. Remember, He's given you sound doctrine. It's a proven path. It's something that you don't have to experiment with. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to doubt. When I have some concern about something in the world and I know the Word of God has spoken, God has shown me about it, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to rethink it. It's an established, proven path. Ponder the path of faith. Let all thy ways be established. It's proven. You can count on it. You can rest on it. You can be assured of it. You know, I read a lot of different apologetics kind of stuff and things that people are saying, and there's one group that I've been reading some of their stuff, and you'd think that before they came along, there wasn't a Christian in the world who believed in a young earth or in a literal 6 days of creation. From things they write, you'd think they were the spearhead of the whole thing. I believed in that since the day I got saved and I read in the book of Genesis that God created the earth, the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I've been sold on that ever since. You say, well, what about all the things the scientists say and everything? Well, it doesn't matter. If they're disagreeing with God, I know they're wrong. I may not be able to prove it. But I know they're wrong. And I know that in the end, when everything's laid out, everybody will understand it then. But I believe that God made the earth not too long ago. I believe that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman. That's how sin got in this world. That's why it's such a stinky place to live. I believe that Jesus came and died, that He lived a sinless life so that He could take all of our sin upon Himself so that one day He could redeem the whole entire creation. He's already paid for it. He's just got to pick up the deed and start putting things the way He wants it. Amen? That's what happens, isn't it? You go out and you buy a house. Now, just because you signed the papers, does that mean that the house is furnished? No. After you buy it, then you got to go in there and you got to set everything in order, don't you? That's what Jesus did. Sin had laid hold of all creation. He came and He bought it back. And He's just He's given opportunity. He's being patient because He's going to set everything in order one day. And once He does, it's going to be set. See, it's a proven path. It's a proven path. It doesn't matter what new thoughts they come up with, what new things they say. I don't care. A lot of the problem is, a lot of times people, they want to be intellectually accepted. Okay? How many of you like to feel like people think you're a dummy? Nobody likes to feel that way, do you? And because of that, there are many Christians who sell out the Word of God. They offer it on the altar of intellectualism. And if you're not careful, it'll happen to you. I do not believe I will ever be able to prove every little thing about what the Bible says to everybody. I don't necessarily believe I'm going to be able to prove, I can prove what the Bible says about it. But I don't believe I'm ever going to necessarily be able to scientifically lay out for everybody how it happened. I just don't think I can. I don't think they can. And I don't care what they think of me for knowing that they can't. When it comes to that book, I'm sold. You know, they always wonder where the moon came from. Okay? They had three theories. They said the moon either came out of the earth when it was molten, and a piece of it spun out and became the moon. Or they said that the moon was traveling by the earth and arrested by the earth's gravity. That could be a possibility. And I think there was a third one. Oh, that's right. They don't consider the third one, that somebody placed it there. Now, they went out and proved mathematically that it couldn't spin out of the earth. I mean, they did that. They had their physicists go out and do all the calculations and said, well, we can get it right to the surface, but we just can't get it to connect together. The math just doesn't work. Isn't it amazing? God made math such a precise thing, you know, that you can actually figure stuff out. Cracks me up. It just amazes me. You know, that the relations, like in electricity, the relationships that you see written when you, and it's hard for me, without any history in electricity and electronics, you might not understand this, but the relationships that you see in the drawings and the values of the resistance and all this, that it all works mathematically together. It's the same. That, for instance, resistance. Okay, that's what resists the current flow. If you put resistors in series, that is resistor, 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 that's additive. It all adds up. Okay? 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5 plus 5. That's how much resistance you have. But then, when you put it in a parallel circuit, you have a line hot, and a line common, and you have a resistor, 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 resistor like this, then it's averages. It's this plus this plus this plus this divided by however many it was. I mean, how simple is that? But that's the way God made it. That's how math is just, it's just amazing how it works. And so they proved mathematically of the earth that the moon couldn't come out of the earth. Ah, well, that one's done. The physicists told us that one's done. Then they looked at the theory that it came by and the earth grabbed it. But they calculated this out too, that the earth doesn't have enough gravitational pull to stop something the size of the moon from going on through space. They've proven that, but the earth just doesn't have the mass, the gravitational pull. It just doesn't have the draw. The moon is too big for the earth to have grabbed a hold of. They take a big planet like Saturn. It's got, what, how many, was it 12 moons? I can't remember. It's got multiple moons. It's a big old planet. We're too small to do that. Well, and they've proven that's not possible. We couldn't do it. But when you think about the Earth, the moon and the Earth being situated just right and how it's just close enough to make the difference in the tides and everything, how everything works together so well, then the other option is it was placed there. Well, they don't want to consider that one. They still want to look at the ones they've already proven can't be. See, I don't worry about all that stuff. Because I don't have to be intellectually acceptable to follow the path that God's given me. I don't care if they accept me. I have an intellect. Yes, I do. I can read books. I took some advanced kind of mathematics and sciences. But that doesn't mean nothing to me. I don't care if I can prove it or not. God said it. You know, Paul did that. Paul was a very educated man. And he said, those things that were gained to me, he said, I've counted them lost for Christ. They're nothing but dung. You know what dung is? He said, that's what it is to me. And this is a proven, established path. Remember that about sound doctrine. As you ponder your path, that it's a proven one. And then lastly, he said, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It is a preserved path. It is a preserved path that we walk on. This sound doctrine preserves our life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that it keeps us from evil men. It protects us from people who have ulterior motives if we walk in the proven path. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. It says that you will preserve, it will preserve your life. Remove thy foot from evil. Don't let your foot step off the path that God's given you. No matter what the temptation, no matter what may be said, what may be done, what may be threatened, what may be proposed, do not leave the path. No one can obliterate it. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It's forever settled. No one can obliterate your path. You just need to stay on it. It's a preserved path. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. If this is the path you walk on, that's the one you stay on. It always makes me think about when I was a kid, we'd go down to Grandma and Grandpa's house. They lived out in the country. And we would go, the field behind them was owned by a cattle farmer, a dairy farmer. And it had some woods and it had some fields. And we'd go fishing down the Sandy Creek there. And we'd go walking through the woods. There's a path there that we had worn out, and the animals, everybody had worn out this path in the woods. And we'd walk, and we'd take it over there, and we'd get over there. But there was a point where we had to leave the woods and go through the field a little bit to get to the other woods where the creek was. And that field out there was where the dairy cows grazed and stuff. So you know, it was full of landmines. That imploded rather than exploding. And, you know, when we were walking through the woods, I didn't worry about it too much. But every time we hit that field, I became, my senses became heightened. My level of awareness rose as I was walking through that field because I didn't want to step in any of that stuff. I'd done that once before. I didn't like it. So thereafter, I watched my step. As long as I watched my step, I preserved my way. And every time I read that verse, that's what I think about. Remove thy foot from evil. Oh, there's one. And you know what? If I was walking with somebody else, I'd say, there's one right there. So they would know too. Sort of shared the info, you know. It's a good idea. It's just a polite thing to do. There's a lot of people know, don't step over there. There's a bunch of it over there. Stay away from that, you know. I don't know about you. Maybe that's just, I don't know, I think that's just courteous. Remove thy foot from evil. It's a preserved path. If you walk in it, it will preserve your life. It will give you a life unparalleled and unequaled to anything else you could have if you just walk in that sound doctrine that Jesus has given us. Walk in that knowledge of the truth. It's a preserved path. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes to say.